Hey, what up, Long Beach? Welcome back to your home for everything local sports and our weekly podcast called What Up, Long Beach. As always, I'm JJ Fiddler, and over there on the other side of the room, he's Mike Artabasia.
What's going on, everybody? This is the only place to talk Long Beach sports each and every week. What Up, Long Beach is brought to you by the Long Beach Post here in downtown Long Beach. We're in the office right now in the studio. I should stop saying office. I should start calling it a studio, shouldn't I?
I like that.
Yeah. We're in the studio recording another episode of What Up Long Beach. This is not the only thing we do for the Long Beach Post. We also have 5 minutes to catch you up. Listen, last week we put up 48 stories and 14 highlight videos.
That's the truth.
If you just want to catch up on everything in 5 minutes, you can watch the show at lbpost.com, which is a five-minute highlight package that JJ puts together that's the best of the best from around the entire city. Definitely go check that out. And we have a weekly high school and college sports column. The high school column talking about how busy the winter sports week is and a big league championship type showdown at Poly on Friday. The college column asking the question, is it time for Long Beach State basketball fans to push the panic button? And we'll talk more about all that later on.
We will. We've got a jam-packed show. And before we get into it, we usually don't do this, but I've got to give a shout out to my wife, Vanessa. It's our wedding anniversary 2 years this week. So shout out to Vanessa. I love you. It's been an amazing 2 years. Here's to 200 more. I have to say,
how long have you guys been together total?
6 years.
Are you do you do the dating anniversary? It's the only anniversary for you is the 2 years.
We celebrate each other every day, Mike.
Yeah. But when people say like how long you've been together or whatever, you say we've been married 2 years.
Yeah.
Shar and I do the we do both of them, but they're a week apart.
I was gonna say, yeah, you got them right next to each other.
Yeah, and I kind of like that because then for me, I mean, so we were together for a long time before we got married. So the dating anniversary is the more impressive number.
That's true.
You know what I mean? This August will be 18 years.
Are you going for impressive numbers when recounting how long you've been with somebody?
Oh, okay. Hey, okay. You're always going for impressive numbers, right?
Isn't it just as impressive to be like, wow, their relationship is really great? Like, yeah, we've only been together for 2 years.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. But that's not our strength. Everyone plays to their strength, right?
Fair
that's
enough.
You and Vanessa's strength. For me and Shar, and when I say impressive numbers, what I mean is round numbers, right? Like, so we got married 5 years after we got together. So we had our like 15-year dating anniversary, 10-year wedding anniversary. What I'm excited for this August, actually, I am excited for an impressive number because we will have been dating for 18 years and we will be 36 years old, which means we will officially have been together for half of our lives.
Statabasio.
Which is crazy.
Got you with the Statabasios. And no matter when your anniversary is or what year it is, it's always a good chance to take stock, appreciate things. And if we're celebrating my wedding anniversary, that means in just a few days, we'll be celebrating the anniversary of the 562.org. Started about 2 years ago.
It's February.
It's very the beginning of February, yeah.
Yeah.
So about 2 years ago, started the 562.org. It's been incredible so far. The only reason we've been able to continue to cover Long Beach sports together as a team is because of the team of Long Beach. The community of Long Beach has supported the 562.org. It's why we're here. It's why things like the Long Beach Post exist. So make sure you get involved. Get to the websites, 562.org and Long Beach Post. Hit that subscribe button and help support local sports and news coverage.
I'm running out of things to say about Naples Rib Company. I don't know what to tell you. If you haven't gone down to Naples Rib Company recently, you're crazy. Make an appointment. Go down there. Have the best barbecue in Long Beach. Support the business that does the most to support Long Beach sports in this city. And tell Dave Ursini, the owner of Naples Rib Company, that Mike and JJ sent you.
And he says make an appointment, not a reservation. Because this is serious, like you're going to the doctor.
Serious. Make your appointment.
It's time once again for the O of the Week segment. We start with a question O of the Week. And this is one I've been getting because of the amount of attention it's been getting. Is more league soccer really that good? Yeah. Yeah, it's been getting better every year, and it really is good enough to be the only more league sport with three teams in Division I. More league boys soccer, Milliken, Cabrillo, and Wilson all in the top flight. And I've been covering a lot of soccer in the last week, and I got to tell you, it's very good. quality of athlete.
Yeah, I have not gotten the last 2 weeks out to a boys soccer game. I've really been enjoying your video. You and I are both so busy in the winter that I feel like we really appreciate. Like I'm sure you appreciate being able to see Peyton Watson highlights, even though you're not at Poly basketball games.
Yeah,
I appreciate getting to see more league boys soccer highlights because I'm covering. Say I'm covering two basketball games. I can't be at a soccer game at the same time. And your videos really bring through how good boys soccer has been this year. I am going to throw out that girls basketball, by ranking right now, might be even better than boys soccer.
I think that's why it's not the question of the week, because we know how good girls basketball is. You can see more and hear more about that on the show this week. The thing Mike was mentioning, the weekly video recap of everything Long Beach sports. But I think boys soccer isn't getting the, oh, wow, the rankings are really good, or, oh, you know, oh, wow,
they're
beating
all in Division
really good
one,
teams.
So yeah. They're not going to be ranked number
one. We just keep hyping it, and people are like, I don't know if they're hyping it or if it's actually a real thing. It's a real thing. The quality of the technical skill of the soccer athletes in this city is wildly better than it has been recently. And I got to be honest, the amount of people coming to our website to see soccer highlights is also so much more attention on the soccer this year, really, than any year. The jump from last year to this year has been crazy. I put up a boys soccer highlight on Friday night, and it was seriously doing football numbers for a couple hours on Friday night. It hit over 1,000 views before I woke up on Saturday morning.
Right. Yeah, for sure. People get it. And the do you see crowds that are growing as well?
What's interesting,
like at the games,
is that the lights and stadium changes here in Long Beach, getting that field turf in there, getting the lights in there, has moved schedules. So now soccer's played more at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, under the lights. That's great for the kids because their parents can come.
Yes.
Maybe the amount of people at the game is the same, but the people who are at the game at 3 o'clock to see a soccer game are like kids who are waiting for their parents to pick them up. Somebody who just happens to be on campus. You know what I mean? Not many parents can get off work on a Tuesday at 3 o'clock to go see their kid's soccer game. Wednesday at 6 p.m., though?
You can say that again.
Wednesday at 6 p.m., though, that's a time in which parents can go. And I felt it, actually, last night, Tuesday night, at Pauley. First place Milliken taking on the Jackrabbits. And you could see in the stands there were just more parents. More parents means more people who are actually involved and invested and excited about the match. And that always makes for a better atmosphere. So I think that moving soccer later is great, but it's also changed a lot about the way the sport's watched here in the city.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, that's been a win-win-win all around. Better for us, better for fans, better for the players.
I don't know if it's better for us. I could be doing a lot more basketball if all the soccer games were at 3.
Yeah, that's true. But I think to me, I think to us, having there be more people at the game, having the game be more exciting that way. And then obviously you would have traded your leg for the fields that we have now when we were covering
without question
rainy, horrible, you know, field games 4 or 5 years ago.
I feel bad.
And it's signing day, by the way. You're saying these 6 kids from Long Beach are going to the Pac-12.
Yeah.
But before they get there, they're going to go mud wrestle for 2 months.
Basically. I feel bad for kids of the past, like an Emily Dillon. A great Wilson girls soccer player who had to play on the crappiest of boggy pitches throughout her career here and still balled out loud. Could you imagine what Emily Dillon could do on the Stevens Field right now?
Emily Dillon, Renee Mendiola. I mean,
we're thinking specifically girls because those Wilson Pauley girls soccer matches were just mud wrestling.
And they were the highest level technique kids. I mean, think about Atavia Leachman and Emily Knaus at Pauley.
Kim Marshall.
Kim Marshall. Now Kim's game was suited a little bit for the you know,
Alex Karlowitz. Throw Milliken in there, dude. Nobody has
have to run over
rocket shot like Alex Karlowitz, and she had to do it. Yeah, on the braille that was those fields, dude.
Yes.
All right, moving on. Athletes of the week. Obviously, congratulations to these. We've got a lot of them, high school and college, because like we said, the winter schedule is back in full swing. Thanks to Naples Rib Company, as always, for their sponsorship for this. We start on the soccer pitch. Emily Schiffer with the brace, and then hold on loosely for the Wilson Bruins against Pauley last week.
She scored 2 goals right off the bat in the 4th and 15th minute to give Wilson a 2-0 lead. They ended up holding on for a 3-2 victory. In the pool, we had the Morley Water Polo Showcase last week. Janine Osorio from Milliken scored 6 goals in a 20-0 win over Jordan. She had 6 shots, all 6 of them turned into goals. Going to basketball for a second, girls basketball, Asia Jordan from Lakewood dropped 34 points. This girls basketball is going crazy. We've never seen stats like this. Lakewood versus Wilson last week, Ashley Hawkins for Wilson scores 40, and Asia Jordan scores 34 to lead Lakewood to the win. I mean, that's absolutely crazy.
You got to get on the show, like we've said a couple times already. 5 minutes every week. This week is led by high school girls basketball, and for good reason.
Yeah.
We had the top four teams playing each other earlier this week on Monday, so we've got
the
highlights.
Then we have the top two teams playing on Friday.
So, Friday, game of the week? Is that fair to call that
the game boys of the week? And girls doubleheader? Yeah, I would say. I mean, okay, first we'll get place to that. Second place.
We'll get to that in just a second. But yeah, when you have an Asia Jordan at Lakewood, that's when the more league races are always better. When there's a kid on a team that's not first or second place, but can hang with the first or second place teams. You could think back to the best example of all time, John Timu, on the Jordan Panthers.
The quality of the season is always determined by your third and fourth place teams, because you're just going to assume that your first place, second place battle is going to be good. We did have a little preview of that as Poly hosted Compton last week in boys basketball. One of our other athletes of the week, Gabe Cummings, the sophomore shooter for the Jackrabbits, had a go-ahead three when the game was tied with Compton with under a minute to go. This is one of the things that has us so excited about that Poly Milliken game, because Milliken actually beat Compton by 2 points earlier this season. Poly beat Compton by 1 point, so it looks like the games between those three teams are going to be really exciting, but Poly and Milliken both yet to lose a game. We go to boys soccer, where Andres Mota led a huge defensive effort for the Wilson boys soccer team in a critical 2-0 win over Poly last week that keeps Wilson in that Moore League title hunt.
Yeah, the defense and goalkeeping in the Moore League last week was phenomenal, and it was full of storylines, crazy stuff happening. We're going to be talking about that on the show as well. Mota, maybe one of the best center backs we've seen play here in the city. Because of his technical skill, he can play up top if they need a goal. He's obviously really, really good in the back. And to watch him lead that defense emotionally and physically in that game at Poly was a reminder that, yes, defense does win championships. Wilson is the defending league champion, and they looked it in that one. And then they also played a tough game at Cabrillo, where Cabrillo's defense was better that day. And guess who wins the game? Defense. Pretty big deal.
We go to basketball, where, to be completely honest with you, this is an entirely offensive selection, not so much defensive. But Bonard Johnson for Lakewood dropped 22 points to help Lakewood to a 49-42 win over Sunnyside at the Ron Massey Classic. I got a chance to see Bonard in person this year for the first time when they played Poly earlier in the week. And what a fun player, Jage. You would love this kid. My wife would love this kid. He is probably the smallest guy on the court, but just has an absolute heater. I mean, just good when he crosses half court, plays really hard, really scrappy player, led them in scoring against Poly with 15 points as well. And then two other players more so known for their offense than their defense are two college athletes of the week, both basketball players, Jace Bass at LBCC and Makai Berry at Long Beach State. Berry led Long Beach State women's basketball team to a Big West opening win over Cal Poly, 72-69. She had 24-4-4. But Jace Bass is the most fun stat line in Long Beach right now. This kid in his last three games scored 46, 21, and 41 points to lead LBCC to three victories.
LBCC, a top 25 team in the state, mostly because of Bass. And yeah, we haven't seen anybody score like this in basketball in Long Beach in quite a long time. We've had great basketball players, but they weren't like 40-piece guys.
Yeah, no, not 40-piece guys at the JC level. That's crazy.
It is pretty crazy. He did it last year, too, so this is 2 years of him getting it done. Very curious to see where Jace Bass ends up, because he's not done playing basketball.
No, he's got a couple Division II offers right now. I think he can go and be successful at that level. I think he's a dude that could be a mid-major player. I'll be curious to see where he shakes out as well. It's hard for guys like Jace, because the transfer portal era of NCAA sports means that no one's really looking at JC guys yet, because they want to see, well, which junior is going to transfer out of our program that we might need to replace with a JC guy. You sort of have to wait till later in the cycle than you used to.
Or you could be a Chance Hunter, guy at Long Beach State right now who was at Cerritos College. He came in, started his first year.
Right.
So, yeah, it could also leave an opening for guys like that to immediately impact the program they move to. If it's a mid-major, like you said, yeah, Jace Bass could definitely hang in the Big West. Listen, we've covered enough Big West basketball to know what it takes to play in the Big West. Jace Bass could play in the Big West.
Jace Bass would be at UC Davis giving Long Beach State 30 points tomorrow.
We move on to our game of the week. We already mentioned it. It is a first place doubleheader for Moore League basketball at Long Beach Poly on Friday night. The Millikan Rams, the Poly Jackrabbits. Winner is atop the standings. We start with the girls because that's where the games will start. Millikan Poly has always been a great rivalry in girls basketball. Obviously, Poly has dominated it in league play. But it's hard to say that playing the Poly Jackrabbits hasn't made Millikan basketball better over those years, and Lorraine Morgan would probably agree.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you have two of the top teams, like Millikan's number three in Division II AA, which is just one division below Division I, and Poly's number one in Division I right now, they're always going to make each other better. They get a chance to see each other. It is interesting, rivalry-wise, Poly has really, the last couple of years, kind of separated themselves in terms of that game, but Millikan this year with their young talent and Poly potentially missing Kalea Bugs, who will be out Monday and Wednesday with a sprained ankle, probably out Friday as well, they'll be a little shorthanded. They go from a 7-player rotation to a 6-player rotation, trying to run an aggressive press the whole game. So I'll be curious to see that. I think that could be the best game we've had between those two teams in a few years, though.
In the second game, Poly, obviously, Peyton Watson leading the way. The Jackrabbits maybe feel weird to not have beaten Compton by more. Maybe feel weird that they don't have, like, a tournament title to hold this season, stuff like that. But at the end of the day, in the Moore League, Poly has run the roost.
Yeah.
Now it's Millikan in the second-place spot because it was Compton for a while, and now it's Millikan. And Millikan's got a guy in Rob Diaz who – since he has the ball basically every time Millikan comes down the floor, he could really influence this game and turn it into something we haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, I'm very curious about this game. I think I mentioned earlier, I mean, Poly's just not at a place at the moment where you really – I mean, they were only beating Lakewood by 7 points. The game they ended up winning comfortably. They're only beating them by 7 points at halftime. They're just not in a place right now where they do enough things consistently to – mark a lot of games off as, oh, okay, well, that Poly's going to win that comfortably, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. And then you look at the results. Like I said, they barely beat Compton. Compton barely lost to Millikan. You start to get a little bit excited for how that game could go, particularly if they let Rob Diaz get hot. I mean, I think if you're smart, you're putting your best defender and maybe your second best defender on Rob Diaz, and you're saying, we're going to make Miles Carmen or some of these other guys beat us. And then for Millikan, obviously it's all about trying to stop Peyton Watson. No one's been able to do that in the Moore League. He's getting up to 30 points a game pretty easily and comfortably, usually in three quarters. So that's kind of the question, is what can you do to try and slow down a guy that is probably taller than your center, but realistically has guard skills and is also knocking down threes.
We will have coverage from both of those games on the website, obviously. Also, shout out to the St. Anthony Saints, playing great basketball. The boys won their league opener last week, continuing league play right now. They've obviously got their eyes set on the D1 playoffs. We move on to our players of the week, somebody you should watch, and I think it's a group of people that need to be watched. It's Long Beach State athletes right now. And in the winter, it's basketball and men's volleyball. Now, obviously, men's volleyball coming off the defending national championship season, so they've got two of them. And this group has seen that, but it's a brand new group.
Almost a completely brand new group.
Yeah, and then you're looking at basketball, and things are not going well. So on opposite sides of the spectrum, the volleyball team and the basketball programs. The volleyball team's effort is a big deal because you want to see if this group of players is playing like the group 2 years ago, the group that went into UCLA, the group that played like underdogs, the group that played that Long Beach style and shocked the world. If this group right now for Long Beach men's volleyball wants to get back to the top of the mountain, they have to kind of get back to that underdog attitude. I think that it's the underdog attitude and that grit that got Long Beach State to back-to-back national championships. And if they don't have the player of the year, which they probably won't this year after having it for two straight
they
years.
They do not have the player of the year this year. Yeah.
Then it's going to take a team effort. And if you're going to have a team effort, it's going to take that dog mentality. It's going to be interesting to see, and I think you'll be able to see it this week when they come home to the Walter Pyramid for their home opener against USC on Friday night, a ranked opponent.
Right, Long Beach State number 5, USC number 11, I believe.
But will Long Beach State play like they're the number 11 seed because I think that's how they can be successful this year. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I think they have to – I mean, you know, volleyball is just one of those sports, and Alan Knipe and Brian Gimelaar and all those guys point this out to us all the time. You just – you never have an insurmountable lead. I mean, you could beat a team 25-0 two times, and you're only up 2-0. If they, you know what I mean? If you don't play well from that point on, they beat you in five. So I think it's always – more than most sports, it's about that consistency of effort. Because in football, you come out and play a great first half. A lot of times, you don't need to play the second half, right?
Right.
So I think it's genuinely more important, but especially when they're less physically gifted than a lot of the teams they'll be playing. I totally agree. And then on the basketball side of things, you know, you look at a men's basketball team that's frankly just confounding. I mean, comes out and gives up, I think it's safe to say, an embarrassing loss to CSUN with the number of points they gave up in that game.
Yeah, Northridge was a 5-win basketball team. They have good offense. Let's not get it twisted.
Northridge is the team that if you're trying to sell your fans on the idea that this team could win those three Big West tournament games, that's a game you've got to win that. Like, you got to win that game comfortably on Thursday to have a shot on Friday, Saturday, right? So they give that up, and then they go to Santa Barbara, the only Big West men's team, I believe, with the winning record.
First place, Santa Barbara.
And they beat them on the road.
With the best defensive effort of the season, they held Santa Barbara under 60 points.
In a game that they lost that game at Santa Barbara sometimes during Dan Munson's best years. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, I really don't know what to make of that team at this point.
And that's what I talk about, effort. Obviously, they didn't have the effort at CSUN.
Yep.
You want to point to one straight thing? Up. Watch 5 minutes of that basketball game.
Right.
It looked like they didn't want to be there. It certainly sounded like they wanted to be there at UC Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
Santa Barbara, a lot more beautiful than Northridge, let's be honest.
I'd rather be in Santa Barbara than CSUN as well.
Also, listen, these are athletes, and athletes have pride. And your pride is wounded when you lose to a team in a high school gym by as much as they lost to that team.
Yeah.
Like, that's your pride is wounded. So good on the men's basketball team for bouncing back and showing that they have some pride left. Can they carry it into this week coming home? I don't know. It's going to be fascinating to watch. Thursday night and Saturday, Long Beach State men's basketball is going to be at home this week.
And I'll just point out that the women's basketball team at Long Beach State is similarly, like, the Big West is not good this year. There is only one team with a winning record. You're going to see a lot of these three-point games that they've had. They had two of them last week. They won one. They lost one. As long as their effort level is high, this team will be in the mix in basically every Big West game. And I'm very curious to see the way the conference shakes out right now.
Yeah, I could see that Long Beach State women's team finishing in the top half of the conference headed into that tournament
on effort alone. Yes, 100%.
some good three-point shooting and effort.
Yeah.
That's it. Get it. They'll be at home on Saturday as well. That's a doubleheader at Walter Pyramid. So we'll probably see you there. We move on to our quote of the week, and it comes from the Wilson Girls Wrestling Program. Wilson Wrestling has actually been one of the fastest improving programs in all of the Moore League. Seth Wegter getting that girls program going over there, and the boys program has really improved. He's been able to develop some young talent, get some football players over there. That's always key for your wrestling program to grow. So Wilson Girls Wrestling captain Gracie Karazian is a huge reason why that girls program is doing so well. This is only her third year wrestling, but she's already the junior captain. She's won pretty much all of her matches this year. She's undefeated in the league. She had her pin at Lakewood within 30 seconds to start her match. She's just really good. But what I wanted to talk to her about was why the program has been improving so much. And whether or not the program improving has helped her improve individually. And she's got something to say on the split between team sports and individual sports.
Well, not only is having the bonding that really helps with us supporting each other, it's making sure there's no drama on the team. We all seem to have close relationships with one another. Even if we don't necessarily click personality-wise, we all make sure to support each other, because it's not just an individual sport when you're out there by yourself on the mat, but it's also a team sport. And really making sure that we're all supporting one another is really, you know, important to us.
Did you guys feel coming into the season like you would be in the running for the league title?
I think I did believe in us because we were all working very well together. And again, having that bonding where everybody's just supporting one another, it's not necessarily just about practice and making sure we have the moves right, but it's just making sure that we're all supporting one another. We are underdeveloped compared to how long Millikan has had their female program, and definitely having that against us was hard for us, but the fact that we've really used that as motivation to get better and to work better together has really helped us with beating Millikan.
See, told you, Mike, team sport. It can be both. I think that's the answer we've always looked for. We've always joked, like, with track and wrestling, like, is it a team sport? Is it an individual sport? It's a team sport that you participate in individually. It can be both.
Moving on, our list of the week. JJ has a great column you can check out in this week's Grunning Gazette or at the 562.org about going to a Lakers game. I think we talked about this last week, going to the Lakers game with your father-in-law, yep. Ray. So your list is sort of based on that experience.
I've just been thinking about it a lot, right? Like, I'm thinking about that that game and the story that I wrote for the Gazette, and it was just like, wow, this is one of those games that I'll never forget. What are some other games that I'll never forget? So let's whittle it down to three. The most important sporting events in your life, like the ones that will never forget, the ones that have the most effect on you day to day.
On the job or off the job?
I would say either, like sporting event. So it could be like the marathon or something, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you had that incredible moment at the marathon at the Olympics when we went to London.
Oh,
you
right.
woke up early on one of the last days to go see the marathon, and you said that was just like a moment. So stuff like that, like a sporting moment. So my number one is Long Beach Poly, Lakewood, 2008 CIF Pac-5 semifinal. It was the first big football game that you and I covered together. It was the semifinal. We thought that's the way it was going to be. I was halfway through that game thinking, this is the job I want to work for the rest of my life. It was incredible. The level of play was incredible. The crowd at Cerritos College was absolutely lit. It was... It was one of the top three most important sports moments of my life.
I was about to say, we obviously know it means a lot to you because it's on this list. I would say number one for me...
Because you've gone to some really big football games.
Yeah, I'm going to say these are in no particular order, though. I would say one of the ones that just really jumps straight to my mind is the NFC Championship game that the Niners lost to the Giants a few years ago in San Francisco at the Stick. I went to that game. My friend Ryan got us tickets. And it was just one of those times, like, in your 20s doing something with your best friend where you're like, you feel like this sounds really stupid to say, you feel like a grown-up. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, the two of us went up and we stayed with our friends who live in San Francisco and we went to the game. And the game was heartbreaking. The way they lost just ended up on a special teams miscue that we don't need to discuss. the game sucked, but that trip was like one of my favorite sports memories for sure. And I'll never forget the trip, even if the game itself was frustrating.
Yeah, one of the last ones at the Stick, right?
Yeah. A couple of years before they closed it down.
Yeah, that was really good to get up there and experience how bad that place was, so that you didn't like feel that they were doing the fans dirty by moving them to Santa Clara.
No, I went to the Stick. I think I saw four or five games up there. I actually saw Jerry Rice's last game at the Stick because the year that he came back as a Seahawk when he was with the Seahawks for like 3 weeks.
Right.
I was at that game randomly. My aunt had just gotten my brother and I tickets, so we went up there. I saw some games. It was a miserable place, but I really loved it, and I will say that I have no desire to go to the new stadium.
Interesting.
I don't know. I just like
no desire.
I just
if
like,
I gave you a ticket right now to the NFC Championship game this
oh
weekend,
yeah. But I'm saying I have no desire to go see it. Whereas it's the same thing with Jerry's World in Dallas. They promote it as like we've built this
Mecca.
This testament to the history and all. It's like, but the old place was the history. You know what I mean? It didn't need to be a testament to the history. It just, you were there and you're like, right there. That's where the catch happened. It was right there.
That's how I feel at Dodger Stadium.
For sure.
Yeah.
Like, if they were to knock Dodger, I mean, you as a Chargers fan, like Qualcomm or the Murph or...
Oh, it's always the Murph.
The 90 names that it's had since then, that stadium sucked, but it was where the Chargers played.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so that was the significance of it.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the Dodgers, I'll make that my number two. Going to the Dodgers World Series game, yes, it was Game 5 last year, so you can feel bad for me. Or just the playoff experience of being at Dodger Stadium.
See, but you and I have been sports writers too long for the result to matter that much to us. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I feel like the experience of being a Dodger fan for the last 2 years, 3 years, has been, I don't know, confusing, if I had to put one word on it. I know I've talked about it on this show before, but I would consider myself an old baseball fan. I like seeing runs produced. I like seeing numbers crunched. And that's basically how the Dodgers have gotten to the World Series, is by crunching numbers and going away from gut calls and going towards analytics. And like, that's fine, but it kind of feels like I'm rooting for a fantasy baseball team I didn't get to draft. And now I have to look back at the romantic way I used to watch Dodgers baseball, and now I don't have that, and I don't have the voice of Vin Scully, and I don't have that, like, I kind of have seen the sausage be made now, so my experience with it is completely different. And to be at Game 5 and to watch the Boston Red Sox celebrate at Dodger Stadium, it was both heartbreaking and reassuring that I will do my best to be at Dodger Stadium for Clayton Kershaw's first start this next season, because I believe in the community of Dodger fandom. And I need to go show that guy that one game in October isn't his legacy.
I like that.
We will remember the good stuff as well, even though the bad stuff is very memorable too.
Yeah. I will also go to the Dodgers game, and this is just like pure recency bias, but just like the most fun I've had at a sporting event in quite some time was that I wasn't working, was in August. We took Vincent had a month of time off before he started first grade. We took him out of the kindergarten he'd been going to, the Montessori, and his sister was still going. So he just had a month where it was just him and me and my wife before she went back to work as well. And so we just tried to do a couple fun things a week that were just like for him. And we went to the Dodgers Cardinals game that the Dodgers won 1-0 on a walk-off. And it was just like, it was just the most fun. It was like he'd been to Dodger Stadium before. You were there the first time he went, but he's older now and he likes baseball and he likes watching the Dodgers and baseball. And he was just like, he and I were just going absolutely nuts in the stands together. And there's everyone around us is going nuts. And you just see that little kid moment. You're 5 years old of just like,
I'm totally getting goosebumps right now, bro.
Just totally falling in love with it. You know what I mean? So I'm totally going to cheat for my third one. And I'm going to say his first baseball game is my third moment. That's just like completely, we've gotten to cover the Olympics. I was thinking about having Misty May's gold medal match on there. But the first time seeing him wiggle into a baseball helmet and pants and a belt, it's seeing our job from a different side of it as a dad has really sort of been a shot in the arm for me in terms of the emotional side of things. And yeah, that was awesome. He ran a kid over at first. It was basically like a bang bang catcher's play, except the kid was on first base, standing in front of first base. And his first game, he ran the kid over playing T-ball. Yeah, it was great.
So now do you understand why parents go so crazy at us when we write about their kids' team losing?
You know what?
Do you get it a little bit?
It actually makes me less understanding. To be totally honest with you, I've had this conversation with Mike Wadley and Rob Schock and Jeff Evans, who are three of the ADs in town. Kevin Marshall at Milliken has kids. They'll be old enough soon for us to have this conversation. But I've had that conversation with Jeff and Mike and Rob about how different we are with our kids because of the parents that we see. And so for me, you know, like Rob, for example, his daughter's going through a real growth spurt, looks like kind of a promising volleyball player. And he's like, I never once told her, you know what I mean? I never once told her I want you to do this.
Yeah.
Or we'll go here. But I said, whatever you want to do, I'm going to support you, because I see too many parents that are overriding and steamrolling everyone else. And I think what those guys have, what I have, what we both have, is a sense of the community and the way it functions as a whole. So I see the way my son and I fit into that, as opposed to looking at that community and saying, more of this should be about me. You know what I mean?
Preach.
Yeah.
So my number three is actually also father-son related. My dad is a Penn State alum, Penn State football fan, Penn State football booster. My dad and his friends started the We Are Penn State chant in the 70s. That is no joke. You can actually watch a news special of my dad being interviewed about that very fact on my Facebook page. My dad took me and the family to the Rose Bowl 91/92, or was it 92-93? I can't remember. It was the one with the team Kenjana Carter, Kerry Collins, finishing second in the nation, an undefeated season, finishing second in the nation. I remember beating the Ducks. I remember seeing the Nebraska fans holding up "We are already national champions" at the game. Like, I remember it like it was yesterday. And then I got the bookend. Long story short, my dad and I have an interesting relationship. And I got to see him for the first time in a really long time when Penn State played USC at the Rose Bowl a few years ago. Not only did I get to see my dad, not only do we have amazing seats in the heart of the Penn State section, not only do we get to see a freaking epic game against kids that I covered, Juju Smith-Schuster, in that game, Biggie Marshall in that game. So we got to see that game, and I yelled so loud. I cheered so hard. It was like my little 12-year-old body had gotten moved in the time-space continuum, and it was so cathartic. And then we lost in epic fashion, and I was sitting there with my dad, lost voice and all, thinking, that's proper Penn State football right there. It's to bring you back, take you to the top of the mountain, and drop you just a little bit short.
Yeah.
So Penn State football, as you know, it's been a freaking roller coaster of emotion for anybody even close to that program, let alone being raised by it. And I'm also a recovering Catholic, so you can feel bad for me when it comes to that type of stuff. But the community at the Rose Bowl, just walking around with the Penn State people, like, people can say what they want about college football, and yeah, it's definitely corrupt in certain ways. But we've been to a lot of sporting events, Mike, from the Olympics to, you know, girls water polo at the Woollett Aquatic Center. Every time you're around a community that cares about each other, you can feel it. And college football is just chock full of that stuff, man. And I absolutely love it. We did this last week, and we're going to do it again because, well, I won last week. It's the NFL Pick'em. We picked the four games last week. We both had the Titans plus the points. We both had the Seahawks plus the points. We took the Chiefs and the Niners. But you took the Vikings to try to be the anti-jinx because you're a Niners fan. And it worked.
Which one of us is happier today?
Probably you. I actually won my bet, though, because I teased it.
Okay.
I teased that Seahawks line. Have so you I seen got Uncut extra Gems points yet, bro? On there. No, but I am very excited.
You need to go see that movie.
Yeah. So the games that we have this week are your Niners at home against the Packers.
Yep.
And the Chiefs at home against the Titans. And both games are 7.5-point spreads.
Yep.
Let's start with your squad, the Niners, taking on the Packers. I'm sure that just brings back incredible NFL playoff memories for you.
We were talking on the way over here about how not excited I am for this game. It's a funny thing, Jay. Like, sports fans are different in a lot of ways. I think you and I are similar in that it's like the Dodgers are in the World Series. You're not having a good time.
No.
There's no moment where you're relaxed.
Not even in the playoffs.
Win or lose.
Like in the playoffs, it's just any time your season could end right now.
So I loved the wild card weekend. I was like, this is great. The Niners look great. They're, 14-2, whatever. Right. And then as soon as you find out we're playing the Vikings, it's like, we got to play the Vikings. Okay. All right. And then even though that game was like pretty comfortable.
Right.
You know what I mean? I was still just like so stressed and, I'm miserable. I'm already miserable. I literally just cleared the schedule for all of Sunday and was just like, I'm just going to sit there and be miserable. We're not having anyone over. I'm just going to whatever, and I will go with the Packers. So
yeah, but stick with what's winning. That's fair.
But I will say this. I do think it's crazy that Aaron Rodgers, as the only experienced quarterback in the playoffs at this point, because I'm not going to count Pat Mahomes. He's still too young. Like, this dude's won a Super Bowl. And he's a 7.5-point underdog against a dude making his second career playoff start. And Jimmy G was shaky last week.
That's completely fair. I will say, though, I think this is the week we're going to see what you were talking about last week, where the older quarterbacks are kind of riding off into the sunset and they're not game changers, game winners anymore. They're good. Drew Brees is a good quarterback.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is a good quarterback.
That would be fine with me.
I think this is the one where your prediction will come true, where you're like, oh, he's not the guy who can run to the sideline in Dallas, throw it against his body off the wrong foot on fourth down or whatever freaking play was. I still have that clip on my phone because sometimes I just like to watch things that are impossible.
Yeah, right. Now he could only do that for 25 yards.
Exactly. or he can't do that in the fourth quarter because his body's broken down or whatever
right.
I feel like the old quarterback's movement. Like, I want to see Jimmy G versus Pat Mahomes in the Super Bowl. I want to see the next generation get You're ready going for right that. Now. Yeah. I am ready for that.
I will say this. If you love offensive football, Kyle Shanahan versus Matt LaFleur is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, if I didn't have a rooting interest in this game, I'd be really excited for it. And instead, I'm not excited at all for it. But I would just say I really hope that the Niners pass rush is able to make an impact on this game. What's weird is that they will be going up against a friend of mine, Mercedes Lewis, a Poly alum, who will be one of the key blockers for the Packers in that game. So very surreal guy. Moment. Mercedes' 14th season in the NFL, getting to play in his second conference championship game. So very happy for him.
And not the only former Jackrabbit in the playoffs. Jarrell Casey and the Titans are going to play the Chiefs.
Dan Brown has just been unbelievable and is going to be healthy. I texted with him earlier this week. I don't know if I'm accidentally breaking some news here, but he said, I wouldn't want to miss an AFC Championship game, so I think he'll be back.
So he will play.
He should be good to go for Sunday.
Woo!
He is currently 16 tackles short of the all-time record. This is a little bit of history at play here. Mercedes Lewis is 7 games short of the all-time Long Beach record for most NFL games played, set by Willie McGinnis. Willie had 208, Mercedes at 201. Jayon has 104 tackles and is 16 tackles short of Mark Carrier's 120-tackle Rookie of the Year season in 1990 for most tackles by a Long Beach product in a single season. He's number 2 in the history of the city in the NFL. Jayon Brown's season this year is number 2 all-time.
Crazy. So are you sticking with the I'm just going to pick the team with Polly Jackrabbits on it, since you picked the Packers and you're also picking the Titans?
Yeah, he's about Polly bias on Mike's picks for the NFL. You know what's funny? You and I have had situations like this. If I didn't know anyone on the Titans, I'd pick the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs, you know. But, I was just texting with Jayon. Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? I'll pick the Titans. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. So I got a bet in. I actually made it before the lines were moving. So I teased it. So I've got the Chiefs and the Niners just to win, because I teased it by 7. Mm-hmm. So I got the half a point.
Okay.
So I just need those two teams to win. And then I also teased the overs on both games.
Okay.
So I need the Titans Chiefs to go over, 32 or 36 or something like that, and then I need the Packers Niners to go over 45 or something like that.
Okay.
So I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel pretty good.
So your 7.5-point picks would still be Chiefs Niners then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, I would tease it. See, that's what I'm saying.
No, but I'm saying by the picks that you just laid out with the line, who would you pick?
Yeah, I guess I would. I would take the home team.
Okay.
I just want Jimmy G versus Pat Mahomes in the Super Bowl, so why not bet with what you want to see?
Yeah. But it never happens. You never get the Super Bowl matchup you want. Actually, last year was the first time I did. I wanted that. I wanted the next generation. I wanted Jared Goff versus Tom Brady, and it was the worst. It's the worst Super Bowl we've had in a few years.
Maybe we need to George Costanza this thing and just do the opposite of what we want. That's it. That's all. There ain't no more. Another episode of What Up Long Beach, almost in the books. Before we go, we do our recommendations. We don't usually do food, but as I mentioned at the top of the show, my wedding anniversary is this week. And I took my wife, Vanessa, to dinner at Cafe Piccolo? Piccolo? Not really sure how to pronounce it. But it is delicious. It's super romantic. They've got a great candlelit fire situation going on in the living room, dining room area. That's also outside, but also inside. You kind of have to see it to believe it. And the food? Oh, man. This stuffed mushroom, dude. I didn't know I liked stuffed mushrooms until I went to Cafe Piccolo. Check it out. It's on Broadway, right there near Broadway and Redondo.
I've been to Cafe Piccolo.
You have?
I have been to Cafe Piccolo. I agree with your recommendation. Very good. A lot of good underrated Italian spots in Long Beach.
That is the truth.
My recommendation is the movie Uncut Gems, which I'm going to assume most people have seen who would be interested in seeing it. I think it's been really mispromoted. I feel like it's kind of been promoted as a little bit of a dramedy or something. It's not. There's two jokes in the whole thing. It's a very... I don't want to even say anything. It's not funny. Don't go into it thinking that. And I would say that it has not been marketed as one of the best sports movies of all time. I think it's one of the most accurate and best sports movies of all time.
Interesting. Okay.
For sure. And if you go see it, I think you'll agree. You and I always have issues with sports movies, the way athletes talk or whatever else. It's obvious they let Kevin Garnett, and he said this on a podcast, so I'm not just noticing this, but it's obvious that they let him amend the script to sound more like what actual pro athletes sound like.
Right.
But it was like when you and I, like when I'm at, when Jordan Bell comes back in the offseason and like we get a chance to hook up with JB or whatever, this will sound more like JB in his world than any, than like any other basketball movie or anything else you can name. I really, really liked it. It's a great movie.
I heard that they almost cast Joel Embiid to play that part.
I can't imagine what that would have been like because KG is so perfect for what he is in the movie, which if you see it, you will completely agree with me.
They had Embiid lined up to play that role, and then there was like a delay in production, and it was going to run
into the season.
So then they
had had the same Embiid and KG had the same like manager for multimedia stuff or something. So that's how they just plugged KG in.
No one's ever going to beat Ray Allen as Jesus Shuttlesworth as a pro athlete being in a movie. No one's ever going to beat that.
Yeah. No, but yes, I mean, I totally agree with that. But KG playing himself is like more believable as himself than he is in real life is like how I would put it. It's great.
Anything is possible. Yeah. All right, that's it for us. We've got to get back to covering Long Beach sports because it's what we love to do. You can get involved in supporting that. Get to the 562.org, get to Long Beach Post, hit the subscribe button, support your local athletes and everything going on at those websites. So for Mike and JJ and for everybody who helps get this show out each and every week, we'll see you in the stands, Long Beach. Take care.